When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Adam Holland of MPAC, a leading high-speed packaging and automation solutions group. So welcome, Adam.
Hi, Paul. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, oh, big congrats on this morning's inline trading update with year-to-date sales and adjusted PBT higher than last year. So maybe we can start there. What's been sort of driving that growth, and also along with sort of the current demand picture at the coalface with in terms of your customers?
Yeah, well, thank you. Look, we had some really great momentum last year in 2023, and I think the good news is that strong momentum has carried forward into 2024. So it's been more of the same in many ways. So revenue up, last year, profit ahead of last year. We're on track to meet expectations this year for the full year. So we're in a good place. I think as for last year, though, you know, we had a second half waiting last year. There will still be a second half waiting to this year. So we're very conscious there's still a lot for us to go and do in the second half. But we've got great order coverage going into that place, and a good balance sheet position. Working capital has expanded. You know, we have seen some working capital expansion in the first half of this year. Partly that's driven by the timing of order intake. Partly it's driven by the timing of project milestones. So both of those things together mean that we will go into the half year with a small amount of debt on the balance sheet, but that will unwind in the second half of the year back to a net cash position for the second half. So now that's where we're going. I guess in terms of what's driving that demand, well, you know, we talked last time, I think, about the size of the market opportunity, and that's still very much the focus. You know, for MPAC, it's all about winning market share. And if I look at the market as a whole, we're seeing uncertainty in the US. The US elections are certainly affecting the markets in the US. And obviously, there's interest rate uncertainty still all over the planet. No matter which economy you look at, there's still questions about interest rates. You know, for us, when I think about the impact that has on customers and demand, it's mostly the smaller businesses that are impacted by that question. You know, when they're trying to balance the kind of delicate investment decision between the demand growth that they're investing for and the cost of raising the finance to make those investments happen. You know, if they're looking at borrowing from the bank to make that happen, the interest rates have an impact on those smaller businesses. So we have seen a skew towards some of the larger companies that we do business with, and perhaps some of the smaller businesses taking a bit longer to make their decisions. But overall, there's still a huge opportunity for us in the market. That's the focus for our group. It's not really about the market for us. It's about winning market share.
And then in terms of sort of the secular theme of sort of like smart factories and industry 4.0, et cetera, can you just give us a feeling of what sort of like, you know, case study would be? So let's just say, for instance, I mean, when I first started work a long time ago, I used to go around Unilever factories and we used to have an automated production line, but an army of people filling things like cosmetics and deodorants and stuff by, you know, women and blokes and stuff like that. It used to be just doing all the carpenting. How are you seeing that sort of secular theme of sort of like shifting to industry 4.0? What sort of the catalyst? Is it an upgrade of the whole system, or is it doing, say, the packaging side? How do you see it, the coalface?
I think the biggest conversations we have are around, you know, greenfield sites where customers are looking at building a completely new factory, or you know, refitting a complete flow line with a new product they want to launch for the first time. And there, you know, perhaps the most exciting conversations we have are about lights off factories, where you genuinely would have, you know, zero people involved in the day to day production, and that could be through the manufacturing and through packaging on that flow line. So, you know, this is really interesting, and making sure that we're able to be able to provide that service to customers who want it is really important. You know, it's important for us to win business. I think it's probably fair, and it's probably important to say that on the brownfield sites, you know, where an existing factory is in place, many of those facilities don't have that level of kind of digital data in place. And I think it'd be cost prohibitive to put it in place on a brownfield to do a retrofit. You know, there are a handful of examples where we're looking at that with particular customers. But most often, the most exciting conversations are about completely new greenfield sites. So it's still to come.
Okay. And then on those brownfield sites, is there an opportunity in terms of upgrading the sort of the monitoring and the sort of like equipment performance going forward, into pushing up that sort of service, sort of like a percentage of the total revenue?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest opportunities there tend to be in terms of productivity. So, you know, for us, the real focus of our customers is on overall equipment effectiveness, OEE, which combines the production rate, you know, how quickly we're able to produce through that line, and also downtime and, you know, unplanned maintenance issues and planned maintenance as well. So anything that contributes to downtime. And absolutely, the focus of our service business is about helping customers to maximize overall equipment effectiveness, that OEE metric. And you can make considerable gains there. You know, sometimes it's nothing to do with the equipment itself. You know, there are countless examples where we find that operator training is absolutely essential to help people get the best out of the facilities that they already have in place, or to find new ways of using the existing facility. And we can make a strong play there. So, you know, there's lots of opportunity on service business. We've had a focus for many years of getting the service business to 30% of what MPAC does. And we're just about there now. You know, we got very, very close at the back end of 2023. We were 28%, I think, 27-28%. That's still an objective to get to 30 and maintain it in the tram lines around there, because we see the opportunity for customers to improve the equipment that they already have.
I wonder if you could take you through what you're seeing on the battery side of it, the clean energy, because obviously you won a nice little contract with Ilika, didn't you, on their Goliath solid state battery a couple of weeks back, but also obviously the Freya lines, or the Freya sort of like, you know, factory fit outs.
Yeah, well, look, we're all on tenterhooks at the moment, aren't we? We're close to the end of half one now, and Freya have said for some time that their focus was to get to a position where they could build their first cell through the automation systems that we set up with them, and supply samples to customers before the end of half one. So, you know, that was their statement in New York just a couple of weeks ago, and we stood shoulder to shoulder with Freya in confirming that is on track. It is very tight. You know, we've only got a few weeks left, and any day now we will hit that first milestone of achieving cell automation for the first time in Norway. That'll be a fantastic moment for Freya. It's a fantastic moment for us too, when we get there. The Ilika program system, the Goliath program, has gone really well. We launched that at the back end of last year, and we really got going this year with the orders that we announced earlier in the year with Ilika. That project is on track. You know, the design process has gone really well. We're going through design reviews with Ilika at the moment, and we're happy with the progress. So I think the answer is that you know, the signs are all very positive. But you know, as every time I talk about clean energy, you know, as every time I will say again today, you know, we're trying to keep our views balanced. It's an upside for us. We haven't included anything in our forecast beyond current contractual commitments in clean energy. And I think that's really important because, none of us know where clean energy will go in the future. We are all working very hard to make it happen, but we are also very, very keen to make sure we balance that expectation in the market.
Mm. And how has MPAC managed to sort of like win that business? Because obviously your traditional sort of like grassroots was in, well, it is in, food and beverage and healthcare sort of like, products, yeah, etc. And to move into batteries, what's the USPs that has been the sort of the allowed you to win that business?
Yeah, well, I worked really hard for the first 18 months with MPAC to really be able to explain the USP of anything we do, because we win business in surprising ways. And fundamentally, the answer is it's people. Yeah. When a customer buys anything from MPAC, what they're buying isn't a kind of pre-existing product that we just build again and reel off the production line. What they're buying is the ability of our people to solve problems, complex automation problems, in the way that we design, build, install, commission, and support a flow line in their factories through life. And that is fiendishly hard to do. The integration challenges that come with the software, the electronics, and the hardware combined with operator behaviors, it is hard to do. And our people do it really, really well. When it came to batteries, it was no different. We are able to build very complex web handling systems for making all sorts of different things. We were involved in the original kind of PG Tips pyramid yeah, tea bags and all sorts of different things in the past. We've been involved with making nappies and diapers, and batteries in a way, and not very different. It's all about handling a web. In the case of batteries, being able to then manage the production down to micron level accuracy at very high flow rates. So it's not straightforward and easy to do, but our people are very, very good at solving those problems and working with customers who understand their process. And in batteries, as we have in food and beverage and in healthcare, our customers understand their products perfectly well. They really do. They know their products. Our job isn't to do that. Our job is to help turn their process and their product into an automated production process. That's our skill, is automating somebody else's product, somebody else's process. And that's what we've done really well in batteries.
Mm. Yeah, I forgot to say a big thanks actually for sorting out those PG pyramid tea, because I was actually working there. One of my brand colleagues used to do on that, the Brook brand sort of brand, for Unilever. Yeah. But you did a great job. Anyway, in terms of the longer term sort of strategy, I know you've got that 10-10. Can you just sort of quickly remind investors of how you sort of see the business over the next sort of 3 to 5 years?
I think the place to start is 5 years. We've set a very, very clear goal. We see a path to double the business in the next 5 years. And that is it's a very clear and ambitious goal. It is absolutely achievable. And it comes through three things. And there are three levers we are going to pull to get there. The first is organic growth. And that comes through broadening our customer base and continuing to work with existing customers. Our customers are very demanding. And we tend to work with the same customers year after year after year because we really focus on their needs and make sure we are doing the things that they need us to do to support them. That's essential. You don't retain the customers that we've retained without doing that well. And it's really important we do that. But it's also important we fill in the gaps in our utilization. We are a lumpy business. When we win an order, they tend to be 2, 3, 4, 5 million pounds a time. And we're a 100 plus million revenue business. So a few orders one side of a month end or the other side of a month end causes lumps in our business. And factories, engineers hate lumps. It's not an easy thing for us to manage. So we have to find ways to fill in the lumps and make sure that our engineers are highly utilized. Our existing customers need us to do that, to retain and develop the engineers that we have. And the best way we can do that is broadening our customer base and winning some new customers. So we're focused on that. And that's part of the organic growth plan. The second lever that we can pull is through acquisition. We're a very capable business, but we don't build complete flow lines for our customers. We don't turn up at a greenfield site and build the whole of a factory flow line. And when we look ahead to companies that are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 billion revenue, those companies do that. We don't. In fact, most of our competitors that are 2 or 3 times bigger than us are able to offer that kind of a support. So,
and a flow line, that's where we're going. Just for terminology, a flow line's a production line. Is it all the way through from raw materials conversion onto the packaging and put it into a carton?
Absolutely, yeah. So when I say flow line, I mean the production line. Yeah, production
Okay.
line. Flowing material down from the assembly of product through into the packaging facility and then out to distribution and logistics at the back end. And that could be a manual process at some parts of the flow line. It could be fully automated. So that's the second lever is acquisition, and the third lever is clean energy. Those three levers together, organic growth, acquisition, and clean energy, will get us to doubling the business in 5 years.
They're already big markets, aren't they? I mean, I did see
Yeah.
one of your slides, packaging is nearly 50 billion. I think you've then
Yeah.
got sort of like cartoning's about another 10. And I think, is it sort of like clean energy is about $7 billion. So they're huge markets to go
They are for a company of our size, we've got plenty of opportunity to
out.
win market share. It's market share. That's what we've got to do. Go out and compete. And the way we compete, is very straightforward. We've said for the last 18 months that we're going to focus on the existing five areas of our strategy that we've had for a long time. I've maintained that strategy. And we've reviewed it over the last 18 months and come back to the market and said, it is a good strategy. We're sticking with it. We're not going to make any changes. The strategy is about broadening our customer base and going for that growth. It's about operational excellence. It's about outstanding customer service. It's about people, and it's about innovation. And innovation was the one that I found most difficult to talk about up until recently, because we'd worked really hard on a 5-year product roadmap to develop all the kind of investment plans, the new markets we wanted to get into with new products over the next 5 years. But we didn't want to launch them to the investment community. We wanted to launch them to our customers. And until we were ready to launch to customers, we weren't going to go out on the record and talk about them. In the last few days, we've had the first of those product launches. So, some of your watchers may have seen the Ostro launch
No.
last in the
What
last few days.
is the Ostro launch?
So the Ostro is our first new mid-range horizontal cartoner for many, many years. And the Langen product range is absolutely phenomenal horizontal and vertical cartoning systems. So these are machines for putting products into cartons at very, very high rates, very, very fast. And that machine, the range of machines, the Langen range of machines, has got an incredible reputation for reliability and quality and being able to manage these high rates and deal with all the data complexity that goes with digital factories. So a fantastic product base. But we didn't offer anything, a kind of mid-range cartoner up until now. So the Ostro plugs that gap. It's a slightly slower rate cartoner. It's still pretty quick, 180 cartons a minute. So what's that?
Okay, three a
Three a
second.
second. So in our mind, three cartons a second is sort of mid-range. We've slowed it down a little bit, and we've done that to try and address a part of the market that, frankly, the Langen product range didn't really compete in up until now. We saw a huge opportunity in mid-range cartoners, 180 cartons a minute, and we've launched the Ostro to the market in the last few days to address that market. So we're really interested to see how that pans out over the coming months ahead.
Good. Well, big congrats. Big pat on the back to your design team, your innovation guys. So that's great. And yeah, look forward in touching base at the half year trading update. So thanks again, Adam.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.